Does everyone have a red book? I'm going back to that. It makes me feel younger. I grew up with this book, and these songs are just different because of that, I think. And there's a lot of songs in this Sacred Selection book that are not in the other book, I realize. And some of those, I wonder why they didn't have those in the other book. 394 is one of my favorites, but there is a line in that, how do you explain eternity to somebody? And this is written in such a way, I think, well, I'm not sure that's the best word for that, but the first line, there's a beautiful place called heaven. It's hidden above the bright blue where the good who have earth ties are riven, live and love an eternity through. And that word through, you think, well, eternity never ends. And I'm not, probably when they wrote that, they didn't mean that it would end, but it's when I first read that, I thought of that. How do you explain eternity? It's going to be a beyond our imagination. Everything here changes. We age and get older, and the accidents and things that we deal with, everything changes, but eternity goes on and on and on. It's hard for us, since we're earthly creatures, to really comprehend that, I think. It's something to think about. Your soul's going to live forever. And that's one thing about serving God. Do you want to be with God? As we found out last week, listening to the things about hell, we make those choices. But above the bright blue, 394. It's been a long time since I've sang some of these. I've been trying to practice them, but we'll do the best we can this morning.
There's a beautiful place called heaven. It's hidden above the bright blue, where the good with earth ties are riven, live and love eternity through. Above the bright blue, the beautiful blue, Jesus.
5. Song 9:5.
Good to see Tom here today and trying to recover from the hip recovery. And this is something, some of you walk for exercise, you think about those miles over your life you put in. And someday there'll be a last mile, the last mile away.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work in the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there's wings that obey me.
See the invitation song, if you want to mark that at this time, 598, Lord, I'm coming home, 598. I think I got things out a little out of order that we usually do this morning, but at this time, if you're able to stand, would you please stand for prayer? Mark Randolph will be leading us in prayer and as the scripture reading.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning, be able to sing hymns and hear a lesson from your word. Be with Daryl as he brings the lesson of the hour to us this morning. But also be with all the sick and the shut-ins who are mentioned today, and especially be with Tom as he's recovering from his recent surgery, and also still be with Dave as he goes through his rehab that he is doing at this time. Be with all the ones that's possibly away from us traveling, and be with them so they brought back to us safely. Be with us now through the rest of the service. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
The scripture reading this morning comes from James chapter 1, verses 22 through 26. That's James chapter 1, verse 22 through 26. But he, a doer of the word, and not the hearers only, deceive yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth that what manner of man he was. And whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and breareth not his tongue, but deceiveth that his own heart, his man religion is vain.
Now it's time for Daryl Hurst with the lesson, and I want to thank Daryl and Karen for coming down this morning and helping us out. Looking forward to the lesson.
Originally, Mark had asked me if I wanted to use that, and I thought I did, but I didn't have a way of keeping the mirror there, because we're talking about a mirror today and looking at the mirror. Not so much this summer, because it's been so dry, but oftentimes as we walk along in the summer, rain comes along, maybe you're walking along the stream or a creek or crick, however you want to pronounce it. You go up to a pond or you look into a little puddle of water. You see yourself. You see yourself very clearly, for the most part. You see the reflection of who you are. You drop a pebble in it, though, and watch that reflection go away for a while. You get up in the morning. You go to the bathroom, or maybe just to the dresser beside your bed, and you've got a mirror. And what do you see? You see yourself. Of course you see yourself. It's never a question about who it is. You know who you are. Maybe somebody stands up beside you, your husband, your wife, your children, and you see them in the mirror, and they look back at you in the mirror. The very funniest thing sometimes is a baby. It takes a little while for infants to be able to understand things, but when you take an infant and you show it its picture, you let it look at itself in a mirror. Well, either that baby will begin to cry because it has no idea what it is, or it'll laugh because it has no idea what it is. But as it grows, it comes, like you and I, to know who it is. So what's the purpose of a mirror? Purpose of a mirror is just strictly for us to be able to see ourselves. It has no other purpose than that. is for us to be able to look at ourselves. Is my tie straight? My wife and I, sometimes with the different programs we watch on television, especially if it's on any of the news channels, we'll sit there and look, that guy's tie's not straight. Don't they know how to dress him before he goes up there? Or it's even not even tied square. It's all tied sideways. Mirrors are for us to look at, to make sure we're proper and right. What do you see when you look at your mirror? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Well, Ephesians, the fifth chapter, tells us that we're seeing ourselves. Ephesians 5th chapter and verse 29, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it, cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. You look at the mirror, you see a blemish, you see a spot, you see something that's not right. Physically, then we try to go and get it taken care of. That's the first purpose of a mirror. But there is a second purpose of a mirror. When you look at the mirror, do you ever see yourself spiritually in that mirror? When you look at that mirror, do you see yourself in what you actually are deep down inside? Well, let's go over to the reading that we had from this morning from James chapter 1. If you'll turn your Bibles there. Now, I'm going to be reading from what I had copied out of the New Living Translation. It words it a little different, but I want to use that for my thoughts. It says, when it comes to God's Word, don't just listen. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. When you look at the Word of God is to be a mirror for you. It is to be a mirror for you to be able to look at so that you can become and be, once you have become, to remain the kind of person that you are supposed to be. Did you ever look at your mirror when you got up in the morning and you went and you got your breakfast, your cereal, whatever? You got dressed, you went to town, you came back and looked at that mirror again and said, oh, that don't look too good. Did I actually go to town looking like that? We've probably all said that at one time or another. How about spiritually? Spiritually, do we look at God's Word and then apply it to us? Do we do what it says? The scripture that reading from what I said, read there from the New Living Translation says, otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Verse 23. For you, if you listen to the word, you come here, you hear the word brought forth to you, whether it's myself or Charles Savage or whomever might be coming in or whoever might be presenting the lesson. You listen to a minister preach on the radio, on the television, presenting the true word of God. But you don't obey it. Well, it's just like that person that looked at the mirror real quick. Just kind of went, oh. And then you went to town, and when you came back, it was like, oh, that's what I do look like. Well, that's what happens to us when we don't obey the word of God and keep it true within our lives. We don't follow what it says. It's like glancing at your face in a mirror. just kind of looking at it for a minute and going on. You see yourself, verse 24, and you walk away. And you forgot what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law of liberty that sets you free, and if you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you. If you claim to be righteous but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. And your religion is worthless. So, let's look at a few things. When you look in a mirror, what do you see? Well, you can see different things. Do you see a person that's loving? The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who's the neighbor? Well, that would take you then on into the parable of the Good Samaritan. But who is your neighbor? Your neighbor could be the person that you live beside. Your neighbor could be the person that you meet on the street. Your neighbor could be your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. We take that term neighbor and use it so wide when we should and can use it much in a much more narrow fashion. Do you see a person who is kind, like the Good Samaritan? In that day and age, there was no reason for that Good Samaritan to stop and help the Jew. The Jew who had been beaten up on the road, there was no reason for him to do it. The Jews and the Samaritans, generally speaking, hated each other. They would walk, if they were on the same side of the street, one would go to the other side so they didn't have to pass by that on the same side as that person. If one of them dropped something, the other would not help. That was their nature. That was what they grew up with. That's what they understood to be true and right. And Jesus said, it's not. You be kind to someone. Not part of the time, all of the time. You be thoughtful. Philippians, the second chapter and the fourth verse, tells us that we need to look out for the interests of others. Unlike Mrs. Piggy, who is number uno, wah, I think is how she says it, or however she says it, we are not supposed to be number one all of the time. Anytime that we can put someone else above ourselves, we should. That's what Jesus did. You show me a time when he ever put anybody down, when he ever belittled anybody. Did he correct people? Did he chastise them when they did wrong? Yes. But he never put them down. We need to be humble. Again, from the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 3. We need to esteem or value others better than yourself. You have to esteem others better than yourself. Who are you? How high are you on the ladder of life? Well, no matter how high you may think you are on the ladder of life, you need to put that other person, the person that you come in contact with, you need your neighbor, if you will, you need to put them higher than yourself. Treat them better than yourself. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. When he came to the cross and died on the cross, he was making you, he was making me better than himself. And I don't know about you, but I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. We need to be someone who is mature in our faith, or even so, striving to be more mature each day. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 1, tells us that we need to study so we can go on to perfection. We need to learn so we can go on from where we are to understand more of what the Scripture says. It's a shame, probably most of us, including myself, we probably don't spend enough time in study so that we're able to go on toward that perfection that the Scriptures talk about. When I look in that mirror, when I see myself, when you see yourself in the scriptural mirror, are you seeing somebody who is striving to go on to perfection? Or are you just kind of content with where I'm at? When we look in the spiritual mirror, we need to be someone who spends time in prayer and in study. We say prayers most of the time that just last a matter of minutes. And if you look at most of Jesus' public prayers, they were not long. They were not 15 or 20 minute prayers. They were prayers that did only last just a very few minutes. But that was his public prayers. That was his public. His private prayers sometimes went all night. He would go up into the hills and the mountains to the Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, to that area, and pray all night. Think back through your mind. When was the last time you prayed all night? You might say, well, I'd run out of things to pray about. I don't think you would. Because you can repeat the same prayer over again. With Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said the same prayer 3 times. Same prayer. The Father heard him every time. The Father also answered him every time. No, you still have to go to the cross. But he prayed, and he prayed. And not only just praying for ourselves, but praying for others. We find examples time after time where Christ prayed for others, his disciples, for you and me who had not even been born. He prayed for us. When we look in the spiritual mirror of our life, do we see a person who is praying? Or what do you see when you look in that mirror? Do we see someone who is self-centered? As Jacob was in gaining Esau's birthright and then his blessing. Do you remember Esau was hungry, starving? He'd been out hunting and had no success. And he came in and he wanted something to eat. And Jacob says, yeah, I'll give you something to eat. What are you going to give me? What do you mean, what am I going to give you? You know, we look at him and say, you're my brother. Aren't you going to give me something to eat? No, I'm not going to give you something to eat until you give me something. Give me your birthright. Well, what good's my birthright going to do me? I'm about ready to die. Sure, you can have my birthright. Jacob was so self-centered on himself. He didn't think about what was right and wrong. It was like, what can I get for myself? What can I do to make me feel better? What can I do to make me look better? And I'll get his birthright. He was so self-centered on himself. Not only was he so self-centered on himself, but his mother was centered on him too. She played favorites. And when it came time to get the blessing, Jacob was so self-centered, he lied to his father. His mother helped him dress up with goat skins on his arms so he would feel and smell more like his brother. And he goes in before his father, and his father says, "Is that you, Esau? It sounds like Jacob." Jacob says, "Yes, it's Esau, your firstborn." Jacob says, "Come here." They brought him close so that he could feel his arms and he could smell him. He said, "You smell like Jacob, but you or smell like Esau, but you sound like Jacob." And he says, "I'm Esau." He lied to his father because he was so self-centered to have what he wanted. Made no difference of what anybody else wanted. Made no difference of what was right or wrong. He was self-centered. Are we? When we wake up and we look at the spiritual mirror of our life, do we see someone who is self-centered? Do we see somebody who is unkind, like Jezebel? Jezebel, the most evil of all women probably mentioned in the Bible. I don't even know that I have ever heard of anybody being named or naming their child Jezebel. Maybe being called a Jezebel, but never naming a daughter Jezebel. And Jezebel was the one who, when her husband Ahab wanted to get Nahor's vineyard, she said, "What are you moping around for? Get up. We'll get you that vineyard. Have a party. Bring him in. Then bring a couple of people in the middle of the party and say that Nahor has blasphemed God. And we'll take him out and kill him, and then you can have his vineyard." See, Nahor wasn't going to give up his vineyard because you weren't supposed to give up something that had been given to your family. And he did. And Jezebel was able to get Nahor executed and to get that vineyard for her husband because of the unkindness that was in her heart, the unkindness that was in her soul. When you look at the spiritual mirror, do you see somebody that's proud like Peter? Do you look at somebody that's proud? Remember Peter? He went and he told Jesus, when Jesus said, "One of you is going to deny me," Peter says, "I'll never deny you. There's no way. I will die with you," Peter said. Jesus says, "Nope. You're going to deny me, Peter. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And Peter did. He was too proud. What else did Peter do that he was proud about? Oh, remember? Jesus was there going to wash the feet of the disciples. Peter pulled his feet back, says, No. You're not going to wash my feet." Peter says, or Jesus told Peter, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in this kingdom with me." Yeah, Peter had a lot of pride. Do we also have pride? Are we like Simon the sorcerer, who wants to have all the power, the control? We want to do everything we can our way. Remember Simon the sorcerer? He saw Stephen performing miracles, and then Peter and John, or Peter and John come, and they were able to lay hands on people and give that power on. And Simon the sorcerer says, "I want to have this power. Let me buy it from you." Peter says, "Your money perish with you." He was so self-conceited in himself, he thought he could buy the gift of God. Peter told him, says, "No, you can't." What else do you have in your life, your spiritual life? Do you sometimes struggle with things? Music, shows, things on the computer, on your cell phone. There are people who deal with drunkenness and drugs. Won't admit it. Perhaps the language and the things you say, the things you do, the way you say them. So the question will be, what's in your mirror? What's in your spiritual mirror? Is your spiritual mirror full of love and kindness, thoughtfulness, maturity? Is it one that spends time in prayer and study? Or is your spiritual life, your life, self-centered, unkind, full of pride? What about you? No matter what is in your mirror, if it's not with what God wants, He can fix it. And this morning, as we offer the invitation, we would ask that you take the time, look at this, your spiritual mirror. Is your spiritual mirror a mirror that you'll be happy with, that the Lord would be happy with? If you need to give your life to the Father through redemption of your sins, through baptism, we would ask that you come. If you need, just respond for prayers because your life has not been what the Lord would want it to be. Come, as together we stand and sing.
598, Lord, I'm coming home. We'll sing the first, third, and sixth verse of this.
I wander far away.
You may be seated. Two eight nine, the breaking of bread. This is a tune that another song has, so we want to realize that. I think the wording of this, I don't think it's in the other book. So, 289, the breaking of bread, as we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper.
Dear Lord, we break the bread in memory of that great sacrifice on Calvary. This we do each Lord's say, as Christ has said.
Starling.
Well, it's Sunday. What are we going to do today? Karen's going to watch the Steelers lose again. What we do each Sunday? Very important. We're going to take a spiritual meal. Something that will help us, help our spirit, which is our soul, our inner being, and feed it with the spiritual feast we're about to partake of. Bread represents Jesus' body on the cross. His blood represents the blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus died for each and every one of us. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. He did it for love of us. And now we need to show our love back to Jesus and be mindful of what we're doing right now. That we are going to partake and remember his body that was on the cross and the blood that was shed. Let us give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we thank you ever so much for your Son. We ask you to please bless this bread that represents his body that was taken on the cross. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son's sacrifice. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In like manner, let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless this fruit of the vine, represents your Son's blood that was shed on the cross for each and every one of us. Help us be mindful of his great sacrifice and his great love for us. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Also upon the first day of the week, we are also commanded to give back as we've been prospered, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. We thank you for this day and all the wonderful blessings of life that you so richly bestow upon us. Dear Lord, guide us as we give back to thee. Help us be cheerful givers as we give back. Thank you for all the blessings. Especially thank you for your Son. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jim has announcements.
If you haven't got a bulletin yet, make sure you get one. There's several things in there today. Our Bible studies, keep them in mind. A special thank you to the ladies who came to the Thank You Brunch and Craft Day Saturday. I appreciate it and every one of you so very much, and that would be from Holly, so keep that in mind. Technology Center, we're still working on that, and there's advances all the time with that. And I've got something to announce here that's going on, a meeting about technology, so it surprises me. We're trying to catch up. Thank you again to Daryl for coming this morning as your speaker. I've often thought of that when we take the communion and the self-examination. That is one of the hardest things, I think, because you catch middle schoolers doing something wrong. What's the first thing they say? Yeah, but look at him or look at her. We tend to look at others and not hold ourselves accountable to the same things. Ladies Inspiration Day here coming up October the 19th. As guest speaker, Jackie Jadwin and Laura Tonkery will be the song leader. And then about the area churches, some of the events going on there as well in the bulletin. And of course, the next page with the many people that we have to pray for at this time that are facing different things in their lives, difficult times. So keep them in your mind. I won't go through all those this morning, but get a bulletin so you'll be aware of each one of them. Our fall gospel meeting coming up October the 6th through the 8th with Mark Tonkery. So keep that in mind as well. I had a couple announcements that came in through the mail this morning that Ernie gave me. A gospel meeting at the Bates Hill Church of Christ in Sarasville. And I guess that's over in the Noble County area, I think, close to there in Cambridge. So that is October 13th through the 17th, which with Roger Rush. And I'll put this on the bulletin board. Also a winter lecture at lectures at Fishinger and Kenny Road. That is January the 24th, so some time on that, and I'll put this back there as well. It's got the sermon topics and the people that will be speaking on those, and that will be on the bulletin board. And then this other one that Ernie gave me is from Fisher Kenny as well, and it is a technology seminar, I guess it would be. It's called Analog Faith in Digital Babylon. Interesting title. And they'll have a speaker there that will be speaking about media outreach ministry. So that's a different type of thing. I think there's so many things that maybe we'll be able to use that for, to try to get the word of God out, that so many things we haven't even thought of yet. So you get on the internet, and a lot of times we were doing that recently, and we were looking for Don Blackwell videos, and guess who popped up? Because we'd used that on Sunday, that popped up, South Main Church of Christ. You're getting, or put his name in, and our website comes up, and the video on that about hell. So that's something that we can reach out with. And like I say, there's going to be things in the future. We can use that for the good of the church and the word of God. Anything else that I need to announce this morning? Any updates on anyone? It is great to see Tom. Yeah, Mary's doing a good job taking care of him, so he's back quickly. Anything else? If not, good to see you this morning. We've got quite a few missing, so keep them in mind as well. So, Ernie? Okay. Anything else? Okay, who has the closing prayer this morning? Mark again. We're working overtime, some of these, Mark. So when people were out, we had to do what needs to be done. So Mark Randolph, please stand if you're able.
I'll submit my bill to the elders for some overtime and all that. So let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we like to thank you, and we know that everything that comes from you, and we like to thank you for us to be able to sing and be able to hear a lesson from your word and get to know you more, and also be with all the sick and the shut-ins, and especially be with all the ones that's from down around, like in the Florida area and along the coast where the hurricane hit. Be with them families as they're dealing with the flooding and the ones that's lost their lives and stuff like that. Be with them families. Also be with the families that are traveling away from us, that they'll be brought back to us safely. And all this in Jesus' name. Amen.